Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
The Toddcast Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and at toddhancock.ca.
There we go. Hi.
There you are. Hey, Sasha.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Friday! Well, thank you for taking some time here to join us in Vancouver, Canada, Hollywood North, of course.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, yeah. Have you done shooting here? Have you filmed in Vancouver? Have you been to our fair city?
I haven't. I visited Canada in general. I have a lot of family living close to the border, so just vocationally, I've been.
I think just because it's like the cheap dollar, I think, is what it is here, right?
It's clean. Like, it's beautiful. My whole family loves going there. So
yeah, not many bad things to say about Canada. You know, I just had a film crew, film next door, to where I live, and they use a little bit of my place as well, but they flooded the neighbor's basement suite because it was like fake fire, and they're like blasting water all over the house for like hours at a time.
Wow. Okay.
I know, right? Like crazy shit on set. And of course, you've probably seen a bunch of that stuff.
I have. But you know, I think when it comes to your own home, there's a bigger degree
They were going pretty fucking crazy. Yeah. They were pretty pissed off.
What was it for? Do you know?
It was called it was a series called In Den Wolken.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure what it's about, but a ton of fire trucks and ambulances and stuff overnight. It took like 3 or 4 days for them to do, and they had to come into my house and put lights and shit in. And but yeah, they completely flooded the basement of the next door neighbor. It was crazy.
Well, now you both have a story to tell. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
there's that I'll keep an eye out for sure.
Congrats on your new movie. Your world must be slammed right now. Knox Goes Away, sort of stuff, like press and interviews and promoting and all that, that's your world right now, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I was really not expecting it. I'm very low-key. I kind of keep to myself, and then it just everything just went from, you know, 0 to 60 in within a day. So it's been interesting. I'm excited for the period where I get to sleep a little bit more, but it's exactly as you said, just full throttle.
And so tell us about playing Al Pacino's wife. Like,
that's a
pretty good ring to it.
I mean, and everybody's like, what are you going to do next? And I'm like, I don't know how you can follow that. I mean, I can take that to the grave. I feel accomplished. I feel good. I mean, it's iconic. It feels surreal to, you know, be included and be around him. And, you know, my entire family is just in awe. So it was a huge honor. Yeah. And he's lovely. Lovely.
I mean, how could you get to that point? Not like if you were an asshole, you'd never get as big as he is. Like, just it would never happen. Right.
That's also been a really great discovery. I feel like the higher up you go, you know, the more successful people are, at least in the creative space that I've come across, you know, they're just the most grounded, humble people. You know, Michael Keaton also,
of course,
you know,
he directed the film as well, right?
He did. And it was really amazing to watch. I mean, you know, on set you have, you know, maybe 100 crew and cast, and he's just, you can tell he's juggling everything, but he's so just grounded and has so much integrity and makes every single person feel seen. You know, he really holds space for everybody. So, you know, and such a gentleman, you know, just to always make sure you feel good. I have nothing but good things to say. It feels like a dream still, honestly.
Yeah, sure. Right. Like Pacino, Keaton, like just two freaking juggernauts.
Also Joanna Kulig, who I remember, I remember seeing Cold War in theaters when it came out, you know, so I had no idea she was attached to the project until I ran into her on set. And then I realized, okay, she plays across Michael Keaton, but, you know, that just also incredible. She flew in from Poland, you know, and also just the loveliest human being, the loveliest.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. And so you're mentioning, like, you know, your buddies and your family and stuff. They're like, what are you doing next? So what are you doing next? Like, do you have that stuff planned out, or is it kind of just fly by the seat, or how does that work?
It's really been an interesting period because, you know, one, you have the pandemic, like, you know, all production basically halts, or, you know, I did Chicago Fire during the pandemic, and that was, we had to pause production for, I think, 2 to 3 weeks, you know, it was very just start and stop. And then coming out of that, for me, the war in Ukraine started, and I am born in Ukraine. I still have half my family out there. So, that happened in February, and I couldn't rationalize being in a creative space while, you know, my country faced their mortality. So I just decided to step away completely. And my manager at the time, she knew, you know, she kind of gave me the space, and she came across this script for Knox Goes Away, kind of slid it tentatively towards me and said, you know, if you're interested, you know, let me know.
Consideration.
Yeah. And I saw Michael Keaton was attached to the project. I read the script, and I thought the characters were just incredibly developed. And I said, you know what? Let me just try. This is the first project I was really excited about, you know, that entire year. And it worked out. And then the strikes happened. So everything right now is just, I think, again, picking up. I think there's a lot of great projects coming out. But yeah, in all reality, like, I'm back to auditioning, just nonstop. So we'll see. I'm excited to see how it goes. But I also do photography, so I've had the opportunity to shoot Elijah Woods recently, Sophia Boutella. So that's kind of my own little passion project there. So fly by the seat of my pants is, I think, fairly accurate.
Pretty accurate, yeah. And so is Michael Keaton the best Batman?
I mean, I have to say yes. I have to. Yeah. I have to. Also, though, I mean, Christian Bale
is so good. Like, so good.
I all love and respect to Michael Keaton, but I know,
even Ben Affleck. Like, remember when Ben Affleck was announced that he was going to be the Batman, and people were like, what the really?
Yeah,
Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Like, and I thought he nailed it.
He did a good job, but honestly, I think I'm Christian Bale all the way.
Yeah.
Christian Bale all the way. I think, it's just, you're just so caught up watching him, and it's so authentic, and I feel like a lot of humanity. Mm. I feel like older Batmans, they're a little more,
like,
I don't know what the word
is. Kiddish or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I'm thinking like more comic
powers and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great for what it is. But, you know, my personal preference is definitely Christian Bale.
Yeah. I mean, remember what's the movie where he got to like 85 pounds or some shit? It was the Machinist.
Yes.
He is his acting chops are insane. He's so good.
He's incredible. I just, like, that is a true devotion to craft,
right?
You know,
like, and then, of course, then he goes the other side. And what's the one where he gets all chubby and stuff. It's the politician. Cheney.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So he does like one side, then he goes to completely the other side. Like it's insane how good he is.
He's incredible. I mean, I've personally never met him. Would love, but just watching him perform and how seriously he takes it, I think is, you know, a great example of how to be.
You know, right?
Yeah. And
how cool would it be to be in a superhero movie too, though? Like, is that something? Like
I love.
Like growing up, did you follow it, or is it more just in the last? Yes. Like they've been overkill, of course, in the last two decades, right? But like, is it something that?
No, it's kind of my comfort food, quote unquote. You know, Like if I've ever having a bad day, I put on a superhero movie.
Nice.
I love them, and I think my biggest note to Hollywood is I really had a problem with just Black Widow.
Casting or just the story or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's an Eastern European character. You know, you're getting a lot of these American actresses, and you know, this might cause a greater discussion for anyone watching this show. But I just, you know, I would love. I think growing up as an immigrant, you know, I didn't really see, you know, my culture portrayed in the best light. You know, It's you're a victim, you're a villain. And you know, especially in such a, you know, a big platform like a superhero movie, you know, I think that's such a great opportunity for someone who's authentically Eastern European. I think Mila Jovovich would be great, actually. But her daughter, daughter's acting that. I would just like to see kind of like, you know, more of myself in that.
Yeah. Not fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so which superpower would you want to have, do you think?
You're putting me on the spot. That's a great question. That's a great question. I want to say it's between three.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the situation, and I'll have to do my own thinking beyond this. But one being invisible.
Yes.
The other is definitely, I think, teleportation.
That's the one.
And then that's yours?
That's my pick.
That's like, yours?
How rad would that be to be able to teleport anywhere? It'd be insane. Exactly. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. And the other, I think, the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a powerful one, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Three good choices.
Thank you. Thank you.
And of course, you're known for modeling as well.
Oh God, it feels like a different life, but yeah, I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if like big brands too, right? Like let's get real here. Gucci, Versace, like Alexander McQueen, freaking huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
That had to be a crazy world as well.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I kind of did it when I was younger and kind of got it out of the way. But I don't even know where to start. It's I'm glad I had that experience. I'm glad it kind of got me to where I am today. I guess it kind of had to happen because your whole focus is just kind of your exterior presentation, you know, like that's your sole worth is your appearance and, you know, how you come across. And, I'm glad I went through that journey to kind of get to a point where I'm like, you know what, that beauty fades, you know, I think what is internally is what counts.
Yep.
So I kind of did a complete, you know, pendulum shift to the other side. And, I, after I kind of decided to part ways with that. I went back to school and just filled my time with everything I could: communication, psychology, philosophy, like law. You know, I think I did a really great job. You know, modeling, which was great, but getting to switch and put focus internally was really even more satiating.
No shit.
Yeah.
And so having done like both worlds, what do you think is more surreal then? Like, is it the life of a model or the life of a movie star? Like,
I think definitely film.
Yeah.
100%. I don't think modeling is as glamorous as, you know, people like to believe.
Right.
With modeling, you're very much on call for everyone else. You really don't have much of a say. And what I've really been, you know, enjoying about kind of the film TV space, it's genuinely collaborative. You know, I think it's also, you know, there's a union just to make sure that you're taken care of, which again, with modeling, you don't.
Right.
You could be working like, you know, 12, 16 hours, and there's really kind of, you have no rights in that. And, yeah, with, I think, the whole Hollywood industry, I mean, you're getting to create a story and be part of this just other world. And it's really magical, honestly.
And like, what a trip it must be to see yourself. Like, can you remember the first time seeing yourself on screen and like, shit.
I hate watching myself. Sure. I don't know if we've evolved to the point where I don't think we're wired to, you know, sit back and watch ourselves. Like, it's
no, same for me. Like, when I make my podcasts and stuff, cause I have three guests every week, right? Like, you're going to be one of three guests in the podcast when I put it out.
Okay.
But I put it together, but I never push play and listen to the whole hour and a half. You know what I mean? I just don't do that.
I'm really glad. Well, I've watched your podcast. I think you look great, if that's any assurance. Oh, you know, and that's, I guess, you know, other people, you know, they're, I guess it's just a being a fly on the wall. They're not as attached to the situation. So, you know, we have our own, whatever, insecurities or perceptions of who we are. And I think we spiral out just observing, you know, how could we have done this better?
Yeah. You don't like it, but you do watch it though. Please tell me you watch your stuff.
I do. I was nervous going into the premiere of Knox Goes Away.
Yeah.
But you know what? I sat through the whole movie, and at the end of it, I'm like, I did pretty good. Okay. So it was definitely assuring. That was, yeah, it was a really nice moment.
That's cool. And who'd you go with?
I went with my fiance. Yeah. So he loved it, I think.
Oh, he's got to be super proud. Oh my God. You're freaking with Al Pacino and Michael Keaton. It's nuts. Like, two huge, huge, huge names.
He's actually Samoan, and he's first generation, but his mom, who I love, like, she's been obsessed with Al Pacino. I mean, she grew up with him, you know, like, watching him.
Yeah.
And sure. I think she's honestly my biggest fan. I mean, she just screamed when she found out, and then she's just looking for like any update. So it's really nice. It's really sweet. But I think he's got a crush on Michael Keaton now.
Yeah.
Yeah, after seeing him at the premiere. And I did give him warning. I'm like, he's incredible. He's phenomenal. He's clever. He's witty, you know, self-deprecating, but in a really classy way,
about what he's doing, right? Like you said, there's 100 people on set.
Yeah.
He's directing. He's making sure everybody feels, you know, comfortable and good in their job, in their role. And then he's still got to go on screen and kill it.
Yeah.
Like,
and he does it seamlessly. Like, I don't think that's normal, you know, I don't think that's normal for people to be able to juggle. I think, you know, I don't know if you're, you know, single focused or you can handle multitasking. I feel like
multitask. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I can multitask to a degree, but you know, on this level, it's a lot. And I feel like it would crush like just a normal human. So maybe he is Batman.
Maybe he is. what are you binge watching lately? Like, what are the shows you're like, oh, man, so good.
I just finished Three Body Problems.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
No, I heard it. Not yet? I haven't watched it yet.
It's great. It's great.
I'm into The Fallout right
the
now.
What?
The Fallout? The Fallout.
I just had a friend of mine talk about it yesterday. So okay, how are you liking it?
It's good. I'm only two in, but it's so good.
I heard great reviews about that.
Yeah. But I also played the hell out of the video game. So
I
kind of know. It's weird, right? It's weird to watch because it's like, oh man, that's the video game.
Okay, what's the video game that HBO just released this past year with the fungus?
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm Googling it right now because this was a great video game, so I wanted to hear what you thought. Here we go. The Last of Us.
I haven't seen that either, and apparently it's like so good. Like, there's just no time. There's no time. Like, I work full time. I do a podcast. I have a wife. I got two kids. Like, and then to try to sneak in some time to like I'm going to bed at like 2-3 in the morning if I'm able to, you know what I mean?
I understand. I really do. For me, it's my decompression, you know, no matter how busy the day gets, like I still have to, I go to bed, I put on the show. That's how I ease it in.
What's on your radar to watch next then? Like,
I'm currently watching,
pushing you to watch something, I'm sure, right?
I'm always watching something. I just love creatives. I love creatives. I'm currently finishing up The Gentlemen on Netflix. And then I think the next step I'm going to do is Ripley.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that either. Again, too many things to watch. Because I have to also not only binge watch shows, but I'm a huge fan of hockey. So I got to watch the Vancouver Canucks when they play.
Okay. Right?
Are you into sports? Do you watch sports at all?
Well, football, the proper saying, football. Man City.
Okay.
Who just got eliminated, unfortunately, but you know, it's a great season.
Yeah.
If they had to lose to anyone, it would be Real Madrid. I'll give my hats off to that.
Did you watch that? What was that? Oh, it's just called Beckham.
Yeah, the documentary.
Yeah, so good, right?
Like, of course I'm a voracious watcher.
And I agree with you. Like, I love the creatives, right? Like, for me, as a producer, as a host, and everything else, an interviewer, or whatever you want to call it, like, I love watching what other people do and how they put together the shows using B footage and, you know what I mean, narration over top of, and like how they transition between scenes and how they refer back to past things that they've said before. And like, it's so captivating when you know kind of like the inside machine. That was really cool how they did that. That was awesome how they got to that. I can't get away from that sometimes.
Yeah, like, it's the same way. Development. And I think it's the life lesson of, like, you know, as unfortunate as, you know, an event was, like, that had to happen in order for, you know, this bigger thing to come. And it's just, I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. How about the music in your world? Like, what was the music in your life as a kid growing up?
No. Again, immigrant. My parents were very standoffish about American pop culture. So the only music allowed growing up was classical music. The only music. So, you know, there was a point, I feel like as I've gotten older, I've kind of lost that ability, but I would be able to identify who the composer was just like within a minute.
Really?
It was, yeah, it was. So it's just your brainwash. It's ingrained into you at that point. Oh, yeah.
That's like me and ABBA. Like, I could sing every ABBA song, but I don't listen to ABBA anymore. But my mom played it so much.
I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, my dad's pretty young. He's pretty young. He was born, what, 71?
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I was born in 73.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
That's crazy.
He's young. He was a young dad.
He's young.
So he actually, he loved kind of music that made him feel nostalgic, and it was ABBA, it was Michael Jackson, it was Queen.
Sure.
There were a lot of other kind of, you know, European groups. I don't know if you know Modern Talking.
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Music spaz, believe me. Like, if there's something, like, I'm not that good with movies and TV shows and stuff, but music, it's been the driving force in my life since before I can remember. That's why I got into radio. I don't know when I get these interviews, I don't know if people know about my past or if they just know, oh, it's some dude that's doing an interview. But I did radio in Canada for 20 years.
The majority of us were, you know, musicians. So I thought that was really interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. The majority is not musicians. It looks like it, but it's equal. It's music, sports, and entertainment each week.
Okay, so what about music? Like, what? It's just your passion. It fulfills
you. It's just my
passion.
I play drums. I love going to shows. Like, I would be that person that would literally want to die if music wasn't around.
Fascinating. I mean, we need.
Could you imagine a world without music and how shitty that would be?
I mean, that could be a new film. We can produce that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
What was your first concert?
That is a great question.
Dusting off the cobwebs for this one.
I don't think I wasn't allowed to go to concerts. So I think my first real concert was, I don't know if you consider it a concert, but it was Rodrigo E. Prieto. I don't know if that's how you pronounce their name, but they're guitarists. And so they have very kind of, I mean, their music is incredible, but definitely has, you know, kind of flamenco elements into it. But then I think Mike Snow, that was kind of my first concert. They were performing at the Shrine downtown. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I don't think I've been to any concert growing up.
Really?
Yeah. What kind of life is that? What was your first concert?
Dr. Hook.
Wow. Okay.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
8 years old, little kid. I remember it well.
Wow.
Okay.
My fiance's actually, he's a fairly reputable hairstylist, but he recently got the chance to work with Bono for his Vegas tour. So he had the chance to meet him and
I'm just gonna go ahead and work with one of the most known people on the planet. That'd be weird though. Hey, like, I mean, I think that, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I think you're at that level of fame, you know, where you're in really impressive things, but you could probably walk down the street and people wouldn't bother you. Bono can't just, like, I'm just gonna go grab a, you know, whatever somewhere. You just get mauled.
And that's kind of what I'm fearful about. Like, I don't know if I do want to get to that point, like, because it's
be so annoying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're out with your buddy or your fiance or your mom or whatever, and just having a relaxing lunch. hey, can I get you to sign this? Can I take a quick selfie? Like, chill. You know,
which
they would be crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, I have thought about it, and, you know, like, that's, look, it's pretty cool. It's, I think it's sweet that, you know, people look up to you so much, but it's, I really do think you're sacrificing a degree of your sanity, you know, to be in that spotlight, because it's, at this point, you're for the people. You don't really have time to yourself unless you're at home, you know? So, that's, you know, that's definitely kind of an existential question I've been wondering for myself. So,
right. Like Al Pacino, he can't just fucking go grab something at the grocery store. I mean, he could, but he's probably wearing a hat. He's probably wearing sunglasses. He's probably trying to, like,
kind of makes it even more suspicious. You're, you know, like any other person. Like, who, why are they, you know, why are they hiding? Who is that? And it just, you know, you're caught red handed ultimately.
Yeah. All right, Sasha, I'm going to wrap this up with one last question for you. It's a super oddball. It's not really a question. I want you to share a near-death story with us where you're like, holy shit, I could have died there.
Oh, well, this is, yeah, no, I have several of those.
most people do.
Yeah. I think this is, I mean, it's kind of comical. I think I was... I want to say 11, but it was summer vacation. I went to down to Florida with you know, one of my best friends and her family, and you know, I'm very, you know, vitamin D deficient. I'm very,
let's say.
Yeah, so you know, and her family's from Odessa, like, which in Ukraine, like, it's basically like the Florida of the United States. You know, it's, you have sun, or Miami, you know, kind of that vibe. So just different skin complexions. And on top of wearing sunblock, we were going out to this, it's a spring where, depending on the season, manatees come to mate, or I forget the name of the place. It's beautiful, crystal clear water, you know. Her family thought it was best to put me in like a large t-shirt to kind of protect my body, you know, from the sun. And the thing with this is, like, there's really no staircase to jump off of in the spring, and it's very deep. You know, there's no kind of gradual level down. And there was definitely a current, and I just, you know, with this gigantic t-shirt, and I'm 11, like, I'm tiny, you know, like, weighing me down, like, I'm, you know, I was drowning. I couldn't swim. There wasn't anyone around me. I really, like, the panic of that was terrifying. So I think that was definitely, I think they threw me like a life vest.
Like, how'd you get out? Like, can't swim. What the fuck are you doing near?
No. I couldn't swim. I couldn't move. Like, I was, you know, just being pulled like all the way down. So, that was exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, believe me, everybody's got a story. Like, ask anybody, if you're in a group setting, ask that question, and like 9 out of 10 people will have the story.
I do have a friend who actually died, though. She's like an incredible makeup artist, like celebrity. She's done everybody, but she actually died. They pronounced her dead. She was dead, I think, for like 5 minutes. That she was... I think she was traveling in Vietnam. I don't know. Her leg got caught in something. She lost a lot of blood. They pronounced her dead. Her heart had stopped. And I'm like, what was that like? And she said,
that's crazy.
And she said, you know, I heard them, you know, yeah, it was all dark. It was all black, but like, you know, I heard them pronounce me. I was dead. Like, I was hearing them discussing everything. And I was just,
what?
Yeah, that's trippy.
Holy, that's trippy. That's trippy.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a story for you for the other side.
Yeah. like leaving with blowing my mind as we're wrapping this up here. Where are you most active online? Like, where do you want people to go and say hi?
I'm pretty low key. I mean, I stalk everyone on every social media avenue, but I'm personally just on Instagram for now.
Okay.
Instagram and in person.
Nice. I wish I could get to that point where I could just not do social media. Not a fan. But it's a must for what I do. Of course, I have to do it.
You must.
I must.
You're getting to the world. We're watching you. We're waiting for
more content, Todd. More.
Never enough.
Dasha, thank you so much for doing this. Great to meet you. Congrats on the movie.
Appreciate it. Amazing
stuff. And I guess we'll see you online. Have a great day.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, and Spotify at Toddcast Podcast.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.